It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Welcome to Quantum of Solace, number 110. Number 111 will be a wee while away because it's going to be the last one for this summer. We're going to do a reboot, relaunch, re-whatever you want in September. So if you've got any ideas, please do get back to us. But we've got a great way to sign off. Now, there's so many things that I could talk about. There's so much been going on in the transgender world. Oh yes, the war between transgender and feminists is really heating up. But we'll leave that one for another time because I think that's going to run and run and run. What's been going on in the political world? Well, it's a great deal there as well. But we're going to leave that, kind of, because we are going to mention something about it. And in the religious world, so many different things too. But I tell you what, let's just, the whole of this podcast, we are going to deal with something that kind of links everything together. And that was the funeral of one of the founders of Solace, Dr. Robert Gordon Wilson.
SNP leaders past and present have been remembering Gordon Wilson today as hundreds gathered to pay their respects to the former leader who died last week at the age of 79.
Now, those of you who don't know the history of Gordon, Gordon was a senior politician. And he, in fact, he was the leader of the SNP.
Whether it was the 1960s, the 1970s, or the 1980s, whether it was the way he gave the SNP firm direction, or the way he cradled the party in the palm of his hand, Gordon Wilson was utterly pivotal to the survival and the success of the SNP.
He, as John Swinney said at the funeral, was the primary reason that today we have a Scottish Parliament. He kept the SNP together and he laid the foundation for its later success.
That the existence today of a Scottish Parliament, the existence of an SNP government, and the existence of a more self-confident Scotland is due to the foundations laid by Gordon Wilson.
Well, in his latter years, his family in their eulogy said that he was proudest of two things.
Gordon felt his greatest contribution in the past few years was the founding of the Solace Centre for Public Christianity, with yours truly, and Options for Scotland, along with Jim Sillars, which published detailed papers on the way ahead for an independent Scotland.
He was a Christian, he was a fine Christian, and that came across very much in the funeral service. So we are going to miss Gordon. He is largely responsible, not just for the Scottish Parliament, but for Solace. So I guess there's something in there to please everybody or to upset somebody. Let's just reflect on the funeral a little bit. And I want to reflect on two things because they teach us a great deal about the relationship between Christianity and secular society. Firstly, let me say something about how the funeral was reported. Now, to anyone who was at the service, and we are going to put the full service up so that you can get this for yourself, anyone who was at the service would see that there were three things that were very much featured. One was, of course, Gordon's role in public life. And that was demonstrated by the fact that the First Minister of Scotland, Nicola Sturgeon, that Alex Salmond was there, that the BBC, that STV, Alan Cochrane of The Telegraph, a number of leading journalists. I mean, it was well covered and senior politicians there. You know, that was significant.
I always remember one of the first ever television interviews I did when I was still a teenager, getting a handwritten letter from Gordon afterwards praising me and giving me encouragement. And that's the kind of encouragement, support and advice that I, Alec, John Swinney all got from Gordon.
The second thing was his family, of course. And that, for me, was the key thing in the funeral service, that the family are there grieving and mourning and you're there to provide comfort.
For the Christian, it is an astonishing thing that we genuinely do believe this. I believe that Gordon is now in a better place and in a better condition than he has ever been. And that's not pie in the sky when you die. It's not wishful thinking. It is the faith of Jesus Christ. Your husband, your dad, your grandfather, you are right to weep. The Bible says we weep, but not as do others who have no hope. We have great hope. And the third was his faith. Now, how did the media cover this? Well, of course, they took the political. What else were they going to do? And they used and they talked about that. And they mentioned the family. One or two mentioned a wee bit more, but generally it was just a mention. But most didn't even mention either his faith or the content of the funeral service, which focused on that faith. And so that set me thinking. Now, one or two did mention, one mentioned, for example, the BBC mentioned that Bishop Vincent Logan had been at the service. Alex Salmond spoke of his deep faith. But overall, the coverage for me was quite amazing. If you'd been at the funeral, I don't think you would have recognized it from the media coverage. And yet the media were there. STV and the BBC had an audio feed. So they got everything. They saw everything. So what's going on here? Well, I'm going to write this, or I have, by the time you will get this, I'll have written it in my blog, so you can have a look. We'll put a link to that. But I think there's something going on here that's deeply revelatory about our culture. Because I think there's prejudice here. It's two kinds of prejudice, a bit like hard Brexit, soft Brexit. There's hard prejudice and soft prejudice. Hard prejudice is when people know. It's when they understand, and it's when they deliberately cut out. Now, I would argue there's a little bit of that with the BBC online report, whereby they covered the event and they had a photograph of the order of service, which had Gordon Wilson's picture on it. But they cut out, and I'm sure this was deliberate, they cut out the scriptural phrase underneath the photographs, which he had specifically requested. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I've finished the course. That was cut out completely. All mention of God was cut out, all mention of Jesus, and so on. I think that was deliberate. I think that is hard prejudice. I think that is people editing out deliberately. And there is some of that in the media. But then there is soft prejudice. And I think this is where the majority is. And that is, it's just complete ignorance. When I use the term ignorance, you know, it's a pejorative term, isn't it? In our cultures, you're ignorant. That's not really what I mean. There's a sense in which I'm not blaming the journalists here, okay? I'm not saying you're ignorant in the sense of, you know, deliberately. There may be some. That would be the kind of hard prejudice. What I'm saying is this. They just don't know. They don't know. And that's the point. That's what we're trying to do. We're attempting to communicate knowledge. Knowledge of God, knowledge of Christ, knowledge of his word. But they just don't know. To them, this is a completely unknown world. They have no idea. And I can tell you that at that funeral, I know, because people spoke to me, that there were people who did not know and who for the first time perhaps experienced something which they were going, wow, I did not know this existed. Incidentally, that was Gordon's own thing. When he first came to the church where I am, where he first came to the church, he said to me within a couple of weeks, I didn't know that there was this kind of church. I didn't know that this could be done. And you need to get this message out. And that's how Sola started, with Gordon Wilson saying, you need to get this message out. That's what it's about. Because people don't know. And if you're a Christian, that should break your heart. Most people are not rejecting something that they know. They are in a broad sense in terms of theism or whatever, but they don't know. They haven't seen the power of the gospel. They haven't heard the word of Christ. So when I use the term ignorance, and if you're a journalist listening to this, please don't take it as name calling. It's just a simple fact. In the same way as I was listening to a thing on quantum physics recently, I don't know about quantum physics, so it was good to be enlightened about it. In the same way, I just think that many, many people, the majority of people in what I would call, let's call it the elites or the civic aspect of our society, They just don't know, whether journalists or politicians, they don't know, because they live in a one-dimensional world. I'm not even going to call it two-dimensional. It's a one-dimensional world. And it's kind of this circular world in which people do live, in civic Scotland, in civic UK, where religion is completely excluded. Christianity is excluded. No, religion's not excluded. I'll take that back. Islam's not excluded. And, you know, you have various other types of religion which won't be excluded. State religion isn't excluded. But biblical Christianity, the idea that people take their faith really seriously, no chance. That is excluded. And that's what's frustrating about it. Because I will tell you that after the funeral, I had so many people speak to me who didn't normally go to church, who were utterly amazed at the depth and the variety. See, I'm not saying exclude the political. That would have been silly. And you certainly don't exclude the family. But we had all three. The media basically only had one, and that's all they could have. So they want the photo ops, they want the clips of the politicians. What they don't want is the reality of the whole service. What we need to realize is fake news isn't a new thing. Fake news has always been there because it's news that's reported, but not holistically. In other words, I think every one of those stories could have been written and possibly even were written beforehand. And all they needed was photographers and sound bites just to get illustrations for their story. I don't think this was reporting. I don't think it was reporting of what happened. I think it was a preconceived, inadvertent perhaps, prejudice of what they thought would happen, what should happen, and what should be reported. And in that way, what we're finding is our media are doing the filtering for us. You know, it's more subtle and nuanced than saying, well, they just want to exclude Christianity. Whether they want to or not, it's what they do. And I think the funeral service was a tremendous thing because what it did was it showed there's so much more to life. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity for that to be the case. And who knows what the fruit will be of that. So you're a journalist and you're listening to this. I just want to make one plea. See, when you're reporting on religious things, and especially on Christianity, and especially on lively, real, biblical Christianity, like someone came up to me at the funeral and said, you really believe this? It's great to have a church that really believes it. So, you know, yeah, get in touch. Ask us, question us. Don't presume. Don't just write your story assuming that you know. You get to find out. And let me commend some journalists here. Well, let me give you an example in terms of Solace. The journalist Kevin McKenna, I wrote about him on the blog. He came up to see us one day. He came up and he did a story, a full article, actually in the Mail, on yours truly. And now, why did he come? Because he didn't know and he wanted to find out. And he did a humorous, I admit it was humorous, sometimes a bit ouch kind of report, but it was accurate, it was fair, it was his perception, but he took time to find out. And that's what I would ask people to do. So I know that there are journalists like McKenna and others. I'm not looking at journalists and saying, journalists I agree with. I'm saying journalists who think. I'm saying journalists who report, journalists who write, who reflect, because there's a far bigger world out there than the worldview that you are encompassed in just now. Now, the second thing is, I want to share with you what I was trying to do. There's a very important verse in James which says that you do not say to the rich person who comes in, you know, the expected millionaire's tithe, come and sit at the front, and the poor person, you go sit at the back. So I was very conscious, and people thought I'd be very, very nervous about the fact that Nicola Sturgeon was there, and John Swinney, and Alex Salmond, and Jim Sillars, and people like this. And yes, you pay them respect and you pay them honor. That is correct. But honestly, they were not my number one priority. By the way, let me highly, highly commend them. This was, to me, incredibly good. They all stayed They all mixed with people. They all talked. These were unpretentious politicians. And, you know, we can criticize lots and lots of different things, but I was so impressed with all of them, to be honest, with all of them, for the way that they hung around. They didn't just speak to their friends. They didn't just speak to the media. I had conversations with them all. I regard these conversations as private, so I'm not going to pass them on. I don't think that's right. But I was very encouraged by these conversations. They were beyond just the polite. And my intention was that during the service, I wanted to do three things. My number one priority is that Christ is glorified. My number two priority was that the family were comforted. And, you know, there's so much for them there. My number three, if you like, was that the congregation, we will miss Gordon. Gordon's a friend. For me, he was a friend, and for other people in our congregation. So it's for our congregation. And then my last priority were the politicians and the media. Now, that's not being disrespectful. That was the reality of it. But my hope and my prayer is that they would see real Christianity in a living situation. It seems strange talking about it in terms of a funeral, but it is. In the midst of death, there is life. And that God would use that. So I wasn't trying to make political points. I mean, I had a wee dig at Alex Hammond, but that was just my sense of humor. I'm sorry about that. For anyone who's offended, the journalist nearly had a heart attack.
I gave Gordon many opportunities to diss every one of you. And he never did. Mr. Salmond, I know he fired you from the party, and he told me that. And I said, why? Tell me why. Go on, give me some dirt. Not a word. He never spoke anything but highly of you. I'm not sure he always thought highly of you, but that's the different matter. I didn't know his thoughts, so I won't speculate.
And everyone knew that, but you know, people said, oh, you had a nerve. But that's just me. And I spoke about Gordon's political expectations. There were perhaps less than subtle hints about the culture of death on a day that the Scottish government announced that they were going to fund abortions from Northern Ireland. I did mention this culture of death.
He was greatly concerned at some of the negative things happening in our society. The social injustice, the growing gap between rich and poor, the destruction of the family, the culture of death and attacks on the weakest and most vulnerable. And he never gave up on politics. He thought that politics was part of the solution, but not the whole solution. It was the person, message, and words of Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life.
But the priority was not, oh, I have to impress these politicians. No, that's not what it was about. Nor actually is it about impressing anybody. However, having said all of that, when I reflect back upon it, I was, as I said, I was impressed with the politicians, but I was also so proud of the St. Peter's congregation, who worked like Trojans, who served tea and coffee and baked and cooked, and who did stewarding, who did sound and all the technical stuff, who led the praise, who prayed, who did the garden outside the church. It was so impressive. And somebody said to me afterwards, who's the catering company? I said, well, it's the church. Said, wow. Another person came up to me and said, do you know, I never ever understood why Gordon came to the Free Church, your church. I said, now I understand. It was a service of real worship to a real Christ. And I think many of the people who were there felt that. The media didn't communicate it because they weren't expecting it. They were not looking for it. And that's just the way that it is. I think it's primarily ignorance, prejudice caused by ignorance, rather than prejudice caused by antagonism and hatred, though God alone knows that. But I think that the fact that it happened, there's a reason and a purpose for everything. We pray for our politicians. Somebody said to me, though, you made a lot of friends there. And I said, no, I don't think we did. I think what happened was maybe remove some prejudices. We maybe opened some doors. There were people there I know it had an impact on because they spoke to me afterwards. I'm not going to relay who they were or what they said because I feel that that also is private. And if God is working in their life, we leave that be. And I'm very, very thankful for it. But it is overall a fantastic illustration of what we are trying to do in Solas, what we're trying to do with the magazine,
what we're trying to do with the short videos, what we're trying to do with this podcast, what we're trying to do with the meetings, as Andy Bannister in particular goes all over the place, what we are seeking to do in training churches. All of these things, what are we seeking to do? We are seeking to communicate Christ in a secular culture which has no room for him, has no thought of him. So yes, we are trying to intrude. We are trying to be like a virus infecting the whole of society. In that, Richard Dawkins was right. We are trying to bring light into the midst of the most appalling darkness. This may sound a bit super spiritual and pretentious, but I'm reading John Owen just now on the Holy Spirit, and he has this tremendous section on the darkness of the human mind and how there is an innate prejudice against God we just can't see. And I think that's happening all the time. And what we do is not saying the quality of our arguments or even the wonderfulness of our characters or God forbid, our sense of humor, especially Andy Bannister's, you know, that we're not saying that these are the things that connect or that these are the things that change people. They may be used by God to connect, but we're saying the Holy Spirit takes these things. And so what can I tell you about the funeral? I can tell you that Christ was proclaimed. I can tell you it was reality, it was humanity, it was politics, it was family, it was friendship, it was love, it was laughter, it was music. It was all these things that we talk about, but it was done in the context of proclaiming Christ. What are the results? Eternity alone will tell. But the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and he will bring forth fruit. And on that thought, I'm going to leave you, and we rejoice that we follow such a Savior. We shall see you after the summer. God bless. Yo.
We're part of a culture that really loves to hate us. Every chance they get, they attempt to isolate and debate us. It's not that they don't like us, it's just they don't like God in us. It's common knowledge, and oddly enough, it makes a lot of sense to a lot of us. We completely understand because we used to occupy the same space and lived in a similar type state until we tasted of God's grace. So we continue loving this world that so easily rejects us and passionately press past the lack of their cultural acceptance. And as if there weren't enough problems for us gaining influence, we keep fighting over the issue of what's too worldly of a Christian to make a difference. So no matter how you paint it or politically campaign it, whether you water it down and drain it, it's really all the same, ain't it? It's the same frustration, same constant segregation. Christians living like aliens trying to relate with citizens of a different nation. What always makes for a better presentation than bark and bite is a proper understanding of living life filled with salt and light. So we walk this fine line of walking in light of God's kindness and live with a sense of worldliness without the fear of compromising. Loving God and neighbor until Christ comes to split the sky or die in this society, hailing Jesus as Messiah. Yep.